speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
Our lesson in regard to what do we do whenever our brother or sister falls away. 2 weeks ago, we began this series of lessons with the blessings and joy of being a Christian. And in that, we want everyone to understand how important it is to be a Christian, as well as the blessings that God bestows upon us. And based out of the fact then that God blesses us as Christians, that ought to motivate us to want to live a life that is faithful before God. Last week we looked at the defilement that sin brings into the life of God's people whenever they live a life that is not consistent with what God expects of us as Christians. Whenever we sin as Christians, good people, God looks at us in the fact that we are no longer pure in His sight. Whenever we sin as Christians, then we lose our fellowship with God, as well as then we lose our relationship with one another as faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. Whenever this happens, whenever a brother or sister falls away, what is it that we must do as their brothers and sisters in Christ, and how does God see them, and based out of the way in which God sees them, also, how should we see that soul as we look at them? I appreciate so very much Tommy's leading the song just a few moments ago, a part of God's family, and certainly we are a part of the biggest family in this world. We are part of the most important family that an individual could ever think about being a part of here upon the face of this earth, and that is indeed a part of our God's family. Whenever a brother or sister falls away, it is very serious in the sight of God. It is a very important subject matter. In fact, today we're going to be drawing from the book of Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 and following, with the lost sheep and the way in which God speaks about the lost sheep, the one who strays and goes away. Also, though, in the context, we have that God also identifies those who fall away through the lost coin, and how that the one who has lost the coin searches diligently until they find the coin. And then you have, in the same context of Scripture, in Luke chapter 15, the prodigal of the lost son, the son who had taken his father's portion of the inheritance and had gone off into the world and squandered it away, wasted it away, and then he returned home. And in that then, though God begins this series of parables with the parable of the lost sheep, from the context here of Luke chapter 15, verses 3 and following, we understand that the shepherd cares for all of his sheep. He understands that he is responsible for them, that their safety and well-being rest upon his shoulders. And the shepherd knows every one of his sheep personally. He is able to look at them and to identify them by the way in which they look. He is able to identify them by the way in which they sound. He's able to identify them in the way in which they act. He cares very much for their safety and well-being. Whenever a herder notices that one of his sheep is not amongst them, he identifies that they are in great danger. They are in danger of the wild beast they would become prey to. They are in danger of the elements that surround them, that the extreme heat. They are in danger of the severe weather that might come upon them because they are no longer in and around the shepherds, for the shepherd to guide them, for the shepherd to provide for the protection that they need. In the context then, whenever the shepherd realizes that one of his sheep has gone astray, the Scripture identifies to us in the book of Luke, chapter 15, verses 3 and following, is that he leaves the 99 and he goes after the one that has gone astray. Now, good people, that does not mean that he would withdraw himself and that he would no longer care about the 99, but rather he understands that the one who has gone away, that he has an obligation, a responsibility, as well as a desire to go after that one sheep. And in going after that one sheep, then he searches diligently. He searches day and night. He searches around the clock, continually looking for that sheep in an effort to bring that sheep home. And then whenever he finds that sheep and brings the sheep home, good people, he rejoices because of the fact that sheep who had gone astray, that one sheep who had left the fold, that sheep that had gone out and was in danger, had been brought home to be brought back into the flock, to wherein that he is going to be able to be guided once again, as well as to where he is protected again by the Good Shepherd. In the context of Scripture, we would understand that an application of this would tell us that every single soul is important to our God. God has created every soul after His image, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 and 27. Also, though, we understand that because of the fact that man sins against God, according to what Jesus taught in the book of John chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17, that the Father so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Every soul in the world is important to God, but also we understand is that it's not God's will that any would perish, but that all would come unto repentance. While all souls in the world are very important to God, good people, I tell you today, as I stand before you, that those who are faithful members of the Lord's church, those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ, they hold a very special place in the sight of God. Why is that? Because the psalmist tells us in Psalms 116 and verse 15 that precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of His saints. God looks at you and me as we are precious in His sight. Why is that? Because we love God in a way that the world does not love God. Why does God look at us as precious? Because not only do we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we obey Christ in baptism, and we do what God requires of us, having been obedient unto the gospel, to live a God-fearing life, to live a life that is saturated around Scripture, a life that is characteristic of what God expects of us. Whenever an individual falls away, whenever one stops loving God with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength, whenever an individual turns back to living a life of sin, our God tells us through this parable and elsewhere in the Scripture that that soul who once was saved, that soul becomes lost once again, that soul has fallen from the grace of God, and that soul no longer is counted as one of God's faithful children. As a responsibility, as a requirement from God, and also that which you and I ought to desire to do, we have an obligation as Christians to go after those who are lost. Jesus taught this in the book of Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 and following. He says, "Moreover, if a brother sins, He says, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he hears you, have gained your brother." God tells us through the words of Christ here that if we know of a brother or sister who is living in sin, one who has left the fold, one who has involved himself in things that is that God would identify as ungodly, we have a responsibility to God. We also have a responsibility to the church as well as to that soul, to go to that soul and to tell them their fault. And in doing so, that if we gain them, if they hear what we say, we gain them back as a brother or sister in Christ. That is, if they listen to us, and based out of the fact that they listen to us, that they then would desire to repent, good people, they will be counted again as one of God's faithful children. Also, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the saints at Galatia in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 says, "Brethren, if one be overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, go and restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest also you be tempted." God tells us that by all means it is possible for one to be overtaken in a fault, for them to turn back to living a life of sin. And He says that in the context here of Galatians chapter 6, and verse 1, that you who are spiritual, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, we are commanded by God and we are obligated unto that soul to go to them, to help bring them back, to restore them. What is the goal? Our goal is always the soul. Even if it would come to the point to where we would have to withdraw from a brother or sister who is living in sin, our goal is about souls. Whenever it comes to withdrawing, our goal would be above all the safety and the sanctity of the body of Christ, so that others would not go off and do similar sin. But also our goal would be that soul, so that they would wake up, so that they would come to an understanding of where they are, the sin that they have in their life, so that they might come to a recognition of the way in which God would see that sin and the fact that they were no longer in fellowship with God and His people. As Christians, you and I must recognize the gravity of the situation, the seriousness of the situation that these individuals are in. The Scripture tells us concerning these people is that it is as a dog that is returned to its own vomit, or a sow that has been washed to wallowing again in the mire, to wallowing again in the mud. Good people, God identifies to us is that whenever a Christian sins against Him, it makes him sick. It is very sickening, as well as God sees it as very nasty and dirty. And whenever we have a brother or sister who has turned to living a life of sin, we cannot ignore that. Why is that? We are taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 and following, wherein the church at Corinth had allowed sin to enter into that congregation. And in the context here, they had ignored a sexual sin that had been taking place between a man and presumably his stepmother. And in the context, the Scripture says that they were permitting this couple not only to assemble with them, but they had evidently bidden him Godspeed to the point to where he says that this sin was not even named amongst the Gentiles. He says that the world would not even go along with something such as this. And God wants His people to wake up whenever a brother or sister is sinning and to see how serious the situation is that they are in. Whenever a brother or sister sins against God, good people, in the violation of God's law, they separate themselves from God. They are no longer in a fellowship with God. They are not in association with God. They are not counted as one of His children, as one of His faithful children. And in this, as we come to the recognition as to the situation that they are in, God also requires you and me to realize our personal responsibility to this brother or sister who is in sin. In this, every single Christian, according to what Jesus teaches there in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 21, every single one of us, we are obligated to go to that soul for the purpose of hoping to bring them back. You and I, as individual Christians, we must understand the role that we play in helping to bring a brother or sister who is erring back unto the fold. You say, Kevin, how can we do that? We might go to that individual personally if we know where they live and try to get opportunity to sit down and to talk with them. And by all means, I'm an individual that I like to do that above all. To be able to sit across the table or to be able to sit making eye contact with these individuals and to tell them how much we love them and to share with those individuals concerning the fact that they were once saved but now they are lost. To be able to identify to them that we do not want to be out of fellowship with them, but rather that we want to be in a relationship with them and we want them to be back into a relationship with our God. You and I are personally committed to go and to trying to bring them back. And if we do not have that opportunity to go personally to their home or to sit down personally with them, maybe to give them a phone call or even to send them a card or a letter, pouring our heart out unto these individuals so that they will come to an understanding of our love for them as well as God's love. But also, as Christians, let's never forget to pray. As Christians, we are to pray without ceasing. And whenever we have a brother or sister in Christ who walks away from God, whenever we have a brother or sister in Christ who has gone back to living a life of sin, and we know that they're not right with God, let's pray that God will give us the strength and the courage to go and to talk to them. But not only should we pray that God will give us the courage and the strength to do what we need to do in going to this brother or sister, but let's pray if we're going to sit down to talk with them or if we're going to write out a card or call them, that we will be able to say what we need to say, that we will not speak out of anger. That's oftentimes tempting, isn't it?
whenever a brother or sister goes away is that there might be that level or element of frustration with them. And they don't need us to come bashing or to come angrily at them, but rather that we will be able to say in a very loving manner what needs to be said, that we will be able to communicate in such a way that might prick their heart. And let's not only pray for us and our desire to go, as well as that we will be able to say the right things, but let's pray also that this soul, that their heart will be open, that they will be willing to sit down with us, and that they will be willing to consider what it is that we are trying to share with these individuals. Let's remember to pray unto our God, and then let's respond. Let's get up and do what God commands us to do as the body of Christ. Let's take ourselves into consideration. If you were lost today, knowing what you know as a Christian, being as dedicated as you are today, if there was a chance of you falling away, there's always a chance for any of us to fall away, would you want somebody to come to you? And I trust that the majority, if not all of us, would say, sure, if something were to happen in my life to where I would go astray, I would want somebody to come to me. And let's practice then, therefore, the golden rule, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, as we would for others to do to us, let's do to them. And let's go to a brother or sister and let's tell them. Let's take action. Let's not only know that we are obligated, but let's do something about it. And good people, in all, whenever we go to these individuals, what should we do? We need to reason with them from the Scripture. As the Apostle Paul and others were going about in the first century, trying to teach people about Christ, the Scripture tells us time and again that they reasoned with them from the Scripture. We know, according to what Jesus taught in the book of John chapter 8 and verse 32, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. Jesus also taught in the book of John chapter 17 and verse 17, sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth. We must know God's word as to what God expects Christians to do in life. And as we have an opportunity to sit down with a brother or sister who is erring, let's open God's Word and be able and be willing to be honest with the Scripture and to lay out for them exactly where they are and exactly not only how God sees them and the way in which we must see them because of our relationship with God. Let's also be willing and ready to lay out for them what God requires them to do. People need to be able to see that, to be able to read it for themselves. And therefore, as we go to these brothers and sisters in Christ, let's take a Bible and let's have our Bible open to book, chapter, and verse and be willing and ready, able to sit down and to explain unto them what God says. If you're sending cards, include in that card your words, Scripture from God. Marianne is wonderful about that. Writing book, chapter, and verse and explaining and encouraging through those words. And in this, we ought to be able to write down and desire to write down what it is that God says concerning them and their situation. And also, let's read about the biblical commitments that they have unto God. As we are reading and studying with these individuals, let's remind them that John saw by revelation that only those who remain faithful until death will receive the crown of life, the crown of righteousness. Let's remind our erring brothers and sisters in Christ of the commitment that they've made to God, that they had told God in their baptism that they will love Him, that they will put Him above anyone or anything else, and that they will become the bride of Christ, and as the bride of Christ, that they're going to be faithful and true to Him all of the days of their life until they draw their last breath. Let's reason with them and let's read from the Scripture concerning the commitment that they had to God to live faithful before Him, but not only that they've made to God, but also that they've made unto the church. Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto them. And if they've walked away from the church, good people also, they've walked away from God. You can't have a relationship with God unless you have a relationship with the church. Our Lord died for the church. And people need to understand that whenever they become a member of the body of Christ, that they are becoming a member of the Lord's church. Whenever they put Christ on in baptism, Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 says, "And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." That's that part of the family. And we need to read from the Scripture concerning the fact that they are a part of the family, and that family does not forsake family. That family does not walk away from same family, but rather that family sticks through things through thick and thin, no matter what the situation is. We work through things. We reason through things. Family is family. And the family of God is above all. We need to remind them that it's only if they will confess Christ continually in their life that only then will they have a chance of an eternal life in heaven with God. But also, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are obligated to the soul who sins to rebuke them for living in sin. This is a negative aspect of our going to them. Remember when Simon, the sorcerer, obeyed the gospel in Acts chapter 8, verse 13 and following? There were also a multitude of men and women that day who had obeyed the gospel. Nothing more said about the faithfulness of those individuals, but in the immediate context, it's revealed that Simon the sorcerer, he had made his living by tricking people, by fooling people, and now he sees the apostles laying on hands of those individuals who are being baptized into Christ. And in that then, he sees that it's through the laying on of the apostles' hands that the Holy Spirit is given. And that tells us that they saw that through the Holy Spirit, these individuals were receiving miraculous measures or manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And dollar signs start to come on in Simon's eyes, and he goes into the apostles and he wants to purchase this power to lay hands on people that he might be able to give them that power. In that, Peter rebuked him. He chastised him. He was very irritated with the fact that this man, who had just been obeyed Christ in baptism, is now turning back. And he told him, he says, "You need to repent of your sin. You need to pray to God that God will forgive you." And as we go to a brother or sister in Christ, we need to tell them, as Paul told the saints at Rome, in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, Paul said, "What shall we say then? Can we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How can he who died to sin live any longer therein?" And as we go to our brother or sister in Christ, we need to tell them that you cannot live in sin and have a relationship with God. You cannot turn back to the world and expect God to take you into eternity in heaven with Him. Why? Because those of the world are lost. And if you're living a life like those individuals who are in the world, you're going to die lost. And God doesn't want that, and we don't want that. But you need to understand yourself the seriousness of the situation that you're in. We ought to share with them what Jesus said in Luke 13 and verse 3 as well as in verse 5. "I tell you nay, but except you repent, you will likewise perish." These brothers and sisters in Christ who walk away from God need to hear those things. And we need to rebuke them for living in sin. But also we need to remind them about the fellowship issue. That whenever a person puts Christ on in baptism, their sins are washed away, and they have this vertical fellowship that takes place with God. And as long as they continue to walk in the light, they maintain that fellowship with God. But not only with God, there also exists a horizontal fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ, with those who also have been baptized into Christ and are members of the Lord's church. And we need to tell them that whenever they live in sin, all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Yet as Christians, we don't want to sin, and therefore we pray to God each day that He will forgive us of sin, and then we try to change so that we no longer repeat those sins. And there, we continue to walk in the light. What I'm talking about this morning is whenever a brother or sister is living in sin, they no longer care about that. They no longer pray to God that God will forgive them. And if they do pray to God that God will forgive them, it's obvious from our perspective concerning the individuals that I'm talking about is that they don't mean what they're saying. Why? Because they may pray to God that God will forgive them, but still they're going back and they're doing the same thing over and over and over again. And we need to tell them that if they continue to live in sin, that they lose their fellowship with God. And whenever they lose their fellowship with God, then they also lose their fellowship with God's people. And there comes that point in time that certainly God cuts them off whenever they made that decision to live in sin. And you and I are on the outside looking in, if you would, as faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. And what I mean by that is they lose their fellowship with God long before we would ever withdraw fellowship from them. And whenever they lose their fellowship with God, we plead with them, we beg with them, we try to teach them, to restore them, and then there would come that point in time where we have to cut off fellowship with them. And we need to communicate with them that when we are talking with them, that we are recognizing that they have already lost their fellowship with God. And therefore, they stand in need of repentance in order for them to be in a relationship with God once again. And as we're reminding them concerning their fellowship with God, we need to also tell them that if they don't come back, if they continue to live in sin, if they will not repent of the sin that's in their life, that they force our hand also to withdraw fellowship from them. That they will lose fellowship with God, and that they've lost fellowship also as a result of that with their brothers and sisters in Christ. And brethren, that's hard, I know. But that's biblical. That is the truth. As we think in regard to brothers and sisters who walk away from God, the lost sheep, we need to do all that we can with the opportunities that we have to restore them back to the fold. Last week we mentioned Valerie and the sin that she is involved in, and today I encourage you that if you've not reached out to this sister, to please keep reaching out to her. We've got a little time, and we want so much to be able to reach her or any others, for that matter, who maybe have or will walk away. Let's always keep in mind that we want to bring that soul back. And therefore, we encourage you to keep reaching out to her and maybe to others, that we might be able to gain their soul back before it's eternally too late. This morning, how is your fellowship with God? Are you living a life that is counted as a child of God? Have you confessed Christ to be the Son of the living God? Have you submitted yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin? If not, the Scripture says is that you're not in fellowship with God. And therefore, we want to extend that invitation to you to become a Christian before it's too late. If you are a Christian and you've journeyed away from God, and maybe today even you come to see that that sin has separated you from God, even though you may be in our presence, you come to see, I don't have that relationship with God. I'm no longer counted as one of His children. If you're in that situation this morning too, we want to invite you with His invitation to come forward and let us pray for you as an erring brother or sister that you might be restored back into the fold. If you're subject to God's invitation or call in any way,